Jesus for himself. I just
it's great to see that God is doing great things in this area in Doncaster. And Mark, is, you know, it's back now, and we just pray that Mark will find a place to settle on that. So, just share a testimony, Mark.
As you know, my name's Mark. Before I went to Team Challenge, I'll tell you a bit about my life before I went to Team Challenge. I was a drug addict for 20 years. I had no hope, just life, despair and everything. Through my drug addiction, I've lost everything. I lost my partner, I lost my son, I lost all my dignity and everything. Then one that, and over the years and everything, and nothing to live for, and I hit rock bottom. Then I started going to the drop-in, and they told me about the bus what would come starting coming to town, called the Team Challenge bus, the drop-in. And I just decided to go, where I met first night, I met Andrew and Grace and everything, and they started to tell me that I needed Jesus in my life, and that it was only him what could help me with the unforgiveness, the bitterness I had towards myself, and all the despair and everything. And I just told them I wasn't interested, I didn't want it and everything. I was just going there for food and something to eat. Then I ended up going to prison, and that for a short time. I came out of prison, started going back to them, dropping. Then one night, a lad who did the program, part of the Leeds IT team, were there, and he'd give his testimony, and I heard it. And that's when I decided, I'll give it a go. What have I got to lose? I've got everything to gain, nothing to lose. And I went to Team Challenge on 9th of July last year. And no wonder it's called Team Challenge, because it is hard, it is a challenge. And through all the disciplines I've had in everything, and on the 24th of July I gave my life to Christ, and ever since then he's been there for me. All through the dark times he has been my light to get me through the program and everything. And through the program he's helped me to deal with myself, the unforgiveness, learnt me to forgive myself as he is, and that. And he's showed me his love and how to love others, how Christ loves me and everything. And through that he's been my strength and my fortress and my shield. And I just want to thank you for everything he's done in my life and he's still going there too. Amen.
It's a blessing to be here today. Yeah. Especially my sister over there, the three major ones. I'm so blessed to see you around again. Yes. You are indeed a mother. You cannot forget names of your children. Mark, God bless you. So good to hear your testimony. I love this quotation of someone who said, it doesn't matter how low you might find yourself. What matters is the power which is in Jesus to raise you up and to give you the wings of an eagle to take you far above compared to where a human being can take you to. He is the Lord and God of restoration. You know, all of us, we go through trials and tribulations at some stages of our lives. And what the enemy tried to do is what he did when Jesus was born. He tried to kill him, to destroy him. But God did not allow that to happen. He protected the baby Jesus until his mission was fulfilled, done. That's what God did for you as well, Mark. The enemy tried to destroy your life. In many ways, for those 20 years, but he failed. We praise God for your presence And we celebrate your life today. Amen. In the Lord Jesus. So, this God who have protected you, who kept you alive through everything you went through, and who gave you salvation, yeah, he will restore you, well, socially as well. Yeah. He will provide to every single of your needs. Yeah. He will be your provider. Yeah. And that is our prayer for you, and the blessing that we speak in over your life as a church.
Yeah.
Praise God. We have few readings, and our sister will help us with the first reading. I think there is a microphone set for you.
The reading's taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Amen. Praise to God.
Yes.
And goodwill to men.
Amen.
We are in a season which is defined by everyone in one way and another way. It's quite difficult to have just a single definition for this season. Christians, we have our definition for this season, and the world has another definition as well. Which one is correct? Which one is wrong? Does it really matter to know the one which is right and the one which is wrong? I don't think so. What matters is to know what this season means to you. It's a season of festivity. People are feasting, I don't know for what. Me and you, we are feasting as well. But what does it really, really mean to you and to me? We had a few readings referring and drawing our attention to the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Commonly speaking, the church is celebrating the birth of our Lord, Jesus Christ. We call it Christmas. Originally, it was a word that the Catholic Church made, that we have in two words, Christ and Mass. A Mass of Christ. So a special evening or a special day to have a Mass for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So in short word, they made it Christmas. What really Christmas means to you and to me. To the world, Christmas, it's a family time. When relatives who don't even bother to visit each other or to phone each other, but at Christmas they are obliged to do so. To gather together, share a meal, and have fun. When I'm sharing the word, I love to see Jonathan's face. And this is coming my way. Praise God. Well, not only family come together, they share a meal. They do the exchange of presents, They celebrate one another through those exchanges of presents. And when we try to examine what goes on really, they were meant to celebrate Christ. As our pastor said, to bring presents to the Lord. But they celebrate one another, they give presents to one another, giving presents to a family member or a friend or a neighbor is not really a bad thing to do. It's a good thing to do. But it happens that at Christmas time, there is a spirit. They call it the spirit of Christmas. And according to the mythology, for the Santa to come, the spirit of Christmas has to be there. The atmosphere of Christmas, which is supported by that spirit of Christmas. Then Santa can appear. At the center of what the world is doing, there is this person that we call Father Christmas or Santa Claus. I have few readings. Deb, come, please. She volunteered to help me.
And walks on the water. Santa comes but once a year. Jesus is an ever-present help. Santa fills your stocking. Jesus supplies all your needs. Santa comes down your chimney uninvited. Jesus stands at your door and knocks, and then enters your heart when invited. You have to wait in line to see Santa. Jesus is as close as the mention of his name. Santa lets you sit on his lap. Jesus lets you rest in his arms. Santa doesn't know your name. All he can say is, "Hi, little boy or girl. What's your name?" Jesus knew our name before we did. Not only does he know our name, he knows our address too. He knows our history and future. He even knows how many hairs are on our heads. Santa has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. Jesus has a heart full of love. All Santa can offer is ho, ho, ho. Jesus offers health, help, and hope. Santa says you better not cry. Jesus says cast all your cares on me, for I care for you.
All your burdens on me, for I care for you.
Santa's little helpers make toys. Jesus makes new life, mends wounds, wounded hearts, repairs broken homes, and builds mansions. Santa may make you chuckle. Jesus gives you joy that is your strength. While Santa puts gifts under your tree, Jesus became our gift and died on a tree. It's obvious there is really no
comparison.
Well, who then Christmas is all about? Is Jesus the reason for Christmas? What is Christmas for you? May my God bless you and keep you throughout the year 2009.
God bless you. Praise God. Someone sent that to me last year, and I thought that it's really good. I will. Well, it's really curious to see what is going on in the world. This morning when I was going to Malby for the first service, I came across a traffic jam that never happened before on Sunday. Because I live at the other side of Meadow Hall, and almost all the cars were heading to Meadow Hall to do shopping. So I stuck in the traffic. It was in the morning, before 10 o'clock. I was watching the news yesterday, and I heard that from the 22nd, shops will be open 24 hours. Because the spirit of Christmas is really working. In spite of the credit crunch. Yeah. 24 hours, people will be shopping. Coming back to this reading of Santa, it is interesting to see how Santa has become the center of Christmas. Though Jesus was meant to be the center, the one to be worshipped, the one to be celebrated, but all it's about Santa. The second reading in relation to Santa is this document I came across. Santa is the blasphemous substitute for God. He is routinely given supernatural powers and divine attributes which only God has. Let me go slowly, otherwise... Yeah. He is made out to be omniscient. He knows when every child... Wow, I'm going fast. Seems as if Deborah is able to do it better than me. Go a bit up. Again. Well, he's made out to be.
He's made out to be omnipresent on one night of
Wait.
What?
What
is it?
Let's start from the beginning, okay?
Santa is the...
Blasphemous.
Blasphemous subtitle for God.
Substitute.
He is routinely given supernatural powers and divine attributes which only God has. Think about it. He is made out to be
omniscient.
He knows when every child sleeps, awakes, has been bad or good, and knows exactly what every child wants. He is made out of omnipresent on one...
He's made out to be omnipresent.
On one night of the year, he visits all the good children in the world and leaves them gifts, seemingly being everywhere at the same time. He is also made out to be omnipresent.
Omnipotent.
He has the power to give each child exactly what each one wants. Moreover, Santa Claus is made out to be a
sovereign judge.
Sovereign judge. He answers to no one, and no one has
authority
over him. And when he comes to town, he comes with a full bag of rewards for those whose behavior has been acceptable in his eyes. Santa Claus has become one of the most popular and widely accepted and unopposed myths ever to be successful. Interwoven into the fabric and framework of Christianity. It is a fact that Christ was born and that truth should greatly rejoice the heart of every Christian. But the Santa Claus myth distorts the truth of Christ's birth by subtly blending truth with the myth of Santa Claus. When Christian parents lie to their children about Santa Claus, they are taking the attention of their children away from God and causing them to focus on a big man in a red suit with godlike qualities. All of this teaches the children to believe that just like Santa, God can be pleased with good works done in order to earn his favor. Also, they teach that no matter how bad the child has been, he will still be rewarded by God. Just as Santa never failed to bring gifts, even in homes of professing Christians, Santa Claus has clearly displaced Jesus in the awareness and affection of children, becoming the undisputed spirit, symbol, and centerpiece of Christmas.
Good. Bless you. I found rather this article interesting as well. Is the truth that the attention of the world is focused on Santa Claus, though it was meant to be focused on Jesus, if in reality the world is celebrating Jesus' birth. Then, we come to...
Can I just share something?
Okay.
I can't remember where I got this from, but this was either somebody told me this or I got an email or something that said a lady was shopping and she was buying some presents at a shop, in a card shop, and a young girl, a teenage girl came, 20-year-old girl came with a card up to the counter and said, "Can you believe this? They're even now trying to bring God into Christmas." Now, it makes us laugh, doesn't it? Yeah, it makes us laugh. But can you see that people are actually thinking that Santa Claus is more real than Jesus? Mm-hmm. And that Santa Claus is the reason for Christmas. Mm. Whereas what you're saying is that Jesus is the reason for Christmas. Mm. And people are beginning to believe that now, that it's all about Santa Claus and it's all about gifts, and that we shouldn't have Christian messages on Christmas cards. And for me, Christmas exists because of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Carry on.
Bless you, Pastor. Praise God. Now, the other side of the coin is what Christians would believe. I remember when I came to the Lord back home in Africa, I came across this culture of Santa in the church. I'm not talking about Santa. Christmas in the church. And something was kind of a special event that was happening during Christmas. Many Christians in Africa during this period, what they do in December, they focus more than ever throughout the year on Jesus. You're going to find many churches in Africa organizing fasting and prayers abundantly in December. All that to prepare themselves for the Christmas day. They want to enter into that night, that Christmas Eve, in such holiness that they never had before, and allow Jesus to be born, that is the term that we were using, in the heart for, I don't know, second, third time, whatever. But what they were doing is to be more closer to God than any other period of the year. Which is good, to be closer to God. But we had another group of Christians who were objecting to that way of preparing Christmas or doing things, saying that Jesus is no longer a baby in the manger. He's the Lord forever. He reigns and lives in our heart. There is no way for him to be born every year in our heart. He's there, he lives there. And if we have to worship him, to honor him, it's an everyday thing. 365 days. We don't have to wait until December for us to live a more consecrated lifestyle as Christians. I don't want to enter into that polemic of who is right and who is wrong. But I want to draw our attention to what we are experimenting this day, today, in this age, and in this city where we live in, this country where we are settled. The attention of people during Christmas period, as we heard, is not on Jesus. Isaiah said, "For the love of Zion, I will not keep quiet. I will not shut my mouth. For the love of our people, for the love of our family members, our neighbors, we don't have to keep quiet. If there is a better period to evangelize, to reach out to other people, is this period. Because it's about Christmas. It doesn't matter if the world is focusing on Santa Claus or not. But each and every one of them know that all it's about Jesus, even if the attention now is on Santa Claus. Even if the attention is on themselves. In this country, in this culture where it's hard to step forth to somebody and reach out to the person with the gospel, this is an appropriate time for us to reach out to them without offending them. You can just start a conversation, in regard to Christmas. Nobody will object to talk about Christmas, even the Satanists, even those who are atheists. No one of them in this period of time will object to talk about Christmas. You can ask them that simple question. What do you think about Christmas? What Christmas means for you? And then you have a way to pass on the gospel, to tell them about the Jesus that you love, the Jesus that you are celebrating, not only on Christmas Day, but every single day of your life. I found this an opportunity that we don't have to miss. Unless we are not aware that it is a kind of obligation that Christians we have to share the good news to the lost. We have been given the Great Commission to spread the good news of the kingdom of God to all. God knows how we are doing with it. Are we reaching out to the lost? I don't want to put in your conscience guiltiness for not reaching to others, but we still have time. It's not Christmas yet. We still have time to redeem ourselves and to do what the Lord is expecting us to do. How many among our neighbors will go to hell? How many in the borough where we live in are dying without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of them, they don't even bother to know the afterlife. But you and me, we know. When a person dies without knowing Jesus, what kind of fate is awaiting that kind of person? And so many people in our neighborhood, so many people among our colleagues, even in our respective families, they don't know anything about Jesus. They don't have space for Jesus in their lives. Shall we say, we are saved, hallelujah. When death comes, we don't have any worry. Heaven is for us. And ignore those who in our families are dying without knowing Jesus. Those who are approaching death without knowing Jesus. Yesterday night I saw this family on television. They were meant to go where, I don't know, to meet Santa Claus. But the weather did not allow them. And I saw this family of four children, which was really in such misery because the flight was cancelled. And the father of those kids said, it's a disaster because even the grandparent were crying to see that the children cannot make it to go and see Santa Claus. Looking and listening to that, we understand how ignorant many people are in regard to salvation. Jesus is not in the picture at all in this period of time. And the Bible says, how are they going to hear if no one is proclaiming the word. How are they going to know that the salvation is there for them? That this life is not just ending here, end of story. We become an energy and we live either in this world or elsewhere as an energy, like some of them believe. That is a lie. It's a pure lie from the enemy. But many believe in that. So this is the time to reach out to them. Because you have something that you can use to introduce the message. And we have to be passionate about it. We have to be passionate about it. May the Lord help me and you. We know that everything during this period is meant to be all about Jesus. All about Jesus. You know, I thank God for the kind of fellowship we have in this church. Amen. The kind of fellowship we've having, you can read Jesus into that. I was telling my friends who were inquiring about Bishop Andrew, and I told them, he's approachable as Jesus was approachable. You don't need any protocol to come closer to him, even though he's called Bishop. Papa, that's the opposite of that title. You were meant to be there, holy, and no one has to approach you. We have to do gymnastics to come closer to you. Jesus was approachable. You can see, as the Bible says, the anointing starts from the head and goes down to the body. We have this flexibility of approaching one another. And I think if Bishop was that kind of person no one could approach, that same spirit could be part of our fellowship and be like so many churches that you see people, they gather on Sunday, after that they disappear to meet again on Sunday. Everyone has to mind his own business. As the world this period is gathering, families are gathering to celebrate one another, we don't do that. We have something that the world is lacking. And they do cherish this period because it's the only period of the year when they come together. When they exchange gifts. For me to receive a present from either of you here, I don't have to wait for Christmas to get it. No. My brother Leon is offering to help me decorating the house. But that has nothing to do with Christmas. It's the love of Christ in him. I'm his brother. I'm in need of decorating my house. He's ready to pay the price. To leave his wife behind and the children and invest his time to make my joy to be perfected. It's not a Christmas gift. It's a lifestyle. And the world has not have this kind of lifestyle. All happen during Christmas. So we have more than one reason to tell the world that Jesus is the one who should be celebrated during this time. And this is the kind of Jesus we are celebrating. He doesn't only appear on Christmas time. He's there every day and all the time. He causes me to give presents to my brothers and sisters throughout the year without waiting for Christmas. And he causes them to bless me as well throughout the year. They are not abided to Christmas period. This is the Jesus that we know and we are celebrating. And they have to know it unless we take our courage in hand, me and you, and step forth, starting from our family members who are still lost, and tell them about this Jesus that we are celebrating today. We've been singing carols. All was about Jesus. Nothing for us. And the world in this time and moment is singing, "You better not cry, Santa Claus is coming to town." When I was doing my shopping for decorating the house, any time I go in Wilkinson, it was a song that for this Christmas, I don't want a present. All I want is you. So it's not even about Jesus. He become a human being. A lovely song if you hear that song. Anyway. Last reading, my sister.
Titus 2, verses 11 to 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Amen.
Amen. This portion of the scripture paints the full picture that you can present to people about who we are celebrating today. It presents to us the reason why Jesus appeared. He came to redeem us. He came to provide freedom. We were slaves of sin. No one among us could free himself. But Jesus did it. He gave us the power to hear our brother today testifying what the Lord Jesus did in his life. It's awesome. No one could do that for him. No one could pull me and you where we were lost. But look today, our mind is focusing on the one who saved us. We are free in our spirit, in our soul. We are free indeed. And Jesus can do it for your family. But it's your task to reach out to your family. And this is an opportune time. That's the message the Lord gave me for me and you. Don't miss this period, this season, to reach out to your family. Don't miss this season to reach out to your friends, to your neighbors. I bought a few cards here